예? 예?
We're going to have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, when we come before you, I pray that you be gracious to each and every one of us. And I pray that you, every time that your servant utter your word and your oracle, I pray that you not only fill him with the spirit of revelation and knowledge and wisdom, and also fill those who hear you. And let us understand your word. Help us to walk in it so that we be truly blessed by you, just like your servant Abraham. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The title of this sermon is How Can Abraham Receive Great Reward? We all want to get great reward. But in order for us to get great reward, we have to go through this testing. That is very important. Same as at your school, you have to go through the examination. You pass it with excellence, you're going to get great reward. I would like you to write down right beside test. By faith, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, Abraham offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who has received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son. Even though God has said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. And figuratively speaking, Abraham did receive Isaac back from them. Right beside the test, you write down the book of Hebrew, chapter 17, verse 3. The crucible for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. The reason why the Lord tests the heart, so that if your heart fails, you lose the reward. But if you win, just like Abraham, you're going to become a silver and gold, and you're going to get a great reward. Right beside Proverbs chapter 17, verse 3, you write down the reason why silver has to go through the testing. Gold has to go through the testing. The crucible for silver, the furnace for gold, the reason for that is to remove the dross from the silver. Remove the dross from the gold. You write down Proverbs chapter 25, verse 4. Remove the dross from the silver and out come material for the silversmith. In other words, as far as the silversmith is concerned, when you're mining the silver mine and you have to remove the dross is lead. The lead is no use. And you have to remove the lead and out come silver. Out come gold. And then then the material is good for the silversmith and good for the goldsmith. In the same way, when God tested Abraham, when he becomes successful, and Abraham can be greatly used by God as a showcase to the rest of the world, so as to tell us how can we get a great reward. I say that one more time. The crucible for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. When the Lord tests your heart, and when you pass it, you become a useful material for the silversmith. You become a useful material to our Lord God Almighty. So, and I know some of the mature Christians, they heard that God do not tempt us. I want you to write beside Hebrews chapter 11, verse 14, right beside tested. God tested Abraham. You write down James. Turn to James. James is right after Hebrew. James chapter 1, verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Tempt is different from test. Only Satan tempted you. Tempt you is to make you to fall. Test you so as to remove the dross so that you become silver and pure gold and so that God can use you. In other words, when God tests you, he wants you to be better. But when Satan tempts you, he wants you to go to hell. Okay, you see the difference? Okay, now, I would like you to turn to Genesis chapter 22 and how God tested Abraham. Genesis chapter 22. Sometime later, I want you to write that down right beside sometime later. That means after Abraham has received all kind of promises, after Abraham has received all kind of blessing from the Lord. Okay? Abraham become a wealthy person in Genesis chapter 15, we know that. He's very wealthy. He didn't need any more money. Even though the Lord blessed him with wealth, he said he didn't want it. All he want is a son. And then later on, he get a son too. So he get everything. Right beside sometime later. That means he received all kind of blessing from the Lord already. He has tasted the goodness of the Lord. I want you to write beside sometime later. I want you to write down Psalm chapter 34, verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. So Abraham, after some time later, Abraham has already tasted the goodness of the Lord. Has already seen that the Lord is good. Okay? When Abraham had experienced all kind of blessing from the Lord already. Now, when God gives you so much blessing, he's going to start testing you to see how you respond. Listen to me carefully. Like the chart. Abraham gets so much blessing. And up to this point, it's sometime later. This becomes the critical point. And when God tested him, if he failed the test, he will lose the blessing. He will come down. If you go through the testing and be successful, and you will continue to get more what? Get more blessing. This is what I call in Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16. From the fullness of his grace, we have received one blessing after another. Abraham has already received so much blessing. If you want to continue to receive blessing from the Lord, you have to go through the testing. I want you to write that down right beside testing. You write down Proverbs 17:3, Proverbs 25:4. The crucible for silver, the furnace for gold. But the Lord tests the heart. The reason why he tests your heart, he wants to remove all kind of dross, all kind of garbage from your life. If you allow him to remove all this kind of garbage, then he give you more blessing. Does it make sense? So the testing is not bad. It's a good thing. You understand? But as long as you lean on him, so that you can continue to get more blessing. Genesis chapter 22 verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your
only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice your one and only son there, not in any place, at the place that I show you, Mount Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, that means when he hear God's voice, he do it way away. And that's how you get blessing. Listen to me carefully. When you hear God's voice, you ignore him. That means you failed the test. You got that? When you hear God's voice, he tells you to do something. You do it right away. You pass the test. And you get reward. Let's see how he passed the test so that we learn from his example. Verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. In between 2 and 3, something is missing. Do you know what? The son Isaac is one and only son. Not only Abraham loved Isaac. What about his wife? His wife loved Isaac too. When Abraham hear the command from God to sacrifice his son on Mount Moriah, he didn't discuss this with his wife. Am I right? You know what? If he discussed that with his wife, I think his wife gonna cry like a baby. And if you see your wife crying, you're not gonna do it. You know what? I found out that a lot of people think that they hear God's voice, they don't want to do it, they want to discuss it. Seek counsel. Talk to his wife. He didn't talk to his wife. He's a spiritual man. He hear God's voice, he just do it. He did not want another person to hinder him from getting more blessing. Okay? First of all, he didn't talk to his wife. Early in the morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him 2 of his servants. Why? To help him to carry the wood for the burnt offering. And then he took his son too, Isaac. When he has cut enough wood for the burnt offering. You know what? Some people, he has no intention to offer his son as a burnt offering. He just don't even collect the wood. Go up to the mountain. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry. The tree is too green. You know, I can't even burn it. You know what I mean? He give all kind of excuse. But he didn't give all kind of excuse. He prepared. You want me to do it? I prepare myself to do it. And that's how he passed the test. That's why he get quick blessing. Okay? Now, keep going. When he cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God has told him about. You know, sometimes you don't want to do God's command when God tells you to go to Mount Moriah and then you go to Mount Sinai. Or, as a matter of fact, Mount Moriah is Mount Sinai. Okay? You know what I mean? You go to someplace else to do it. No, you don't do it. God tell you to go there, you go there. And God tell you to sacrifice your son as a burnt offering, you sacrifice your son as a burnt offering. Prepare enough wood to do that. Okay? That's how he passed the test. And then, in verse 4, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. In other words, when you obey God's word, 3 days later, you know exactly where God wants you to go. In verse 2, all he knows at that time is to go to the region of Moriah. But later on, 3 days later, after following the command of the Lord, 3 days later, he realized God wants him to sacrifice his son. He looked up and saw the place in the distance. In other words, the more you follow God, the more you understand God's will. Verse 5.
He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there." Now in verse 5, that is the act of obedience. I believe the moment when he put the life to lay his hand on his son to kill his son, to offer him as a sacrifice, I think two of his servants will stop. He wants his servant, "Stay here, myself and my son will go up. Don't allow anyone, neither your wife nor your servant, stop you from obeying God's command." And that's how you pass the test. He says, "Stay here with the donkey. You just walk up there while I and the boy go over there. And we will worship. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Is he lying? He said, "We will worship and we will come back." He said, "We will worship, but I only come back." He said, "We will come back." They mean he and Isaac will come back, right? By faith, he said that. He knows the way that he worshiped God, he will be richly blessed. Somehow he will get his son back. Okay? He's not lying to his servant. I want you to write that down, the word worship. You write down service. Worship and serve God is the same thing. People ask you, "Where do you go?" Say, "I go to the church to worship God." Listen to me. When you say you worship God, that means you offer a service to God. That means you serve God. Worship and serve is the same word. You say, "Pastor John, how do you know that?" I want you to write down Psalm 100, verse 1 to 2. "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Anyone who comes to worship the Lord God Almighty, always worship God with gladness." You can shout for joy. Because anyone who worships God, God will bless him. How come? Because the word worship means you serve God. Anyone who serves God, God will truly bless you. When God bless you, you're going to shout for joy. You're going to be so happy. Am I right? What do you see the interpretation in Chinese? Chinese means serve the Lord. Do you see that? Worship and serve is the same word. In other words, if you worship God, you come to the church to worship God, you don't serve God, I'm sorry, you don't get the blessing. You are not truly worship God. I also want you to write down, other than Psalm 100 verse 2, I want you to write down Romans chapter 12 verse 1. Paul say that, "Therefore I urge you, brother, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." But in Chinese, he say, "This is a reasonable act of service." You serve God, that means you worship God. You worship God, that means you serve God. I want to write that down. Serve. You serve God, that means you worship God. You'll get a blessing. Go back to Genesis chapter 22. "We will worship and then we will come back to you. You stay here. We go up
to the Mount Moriah. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. At first, two of his servants carried the wood. Now he go up to the mountain. It's a tough job. He left his son to carry the wood. Let me see how old is Abraham. At 100 years old, Abraham has his son Isaac. Isaac was born when Abraham was 100 years old. Now when he become a boy maybe 12, 13 years old. So probably Abraham is 112, 113. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed the wood on his son Isaac. He himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father, yes, my son Abraham replied. The fire and wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Isaac only knows from his father. He said, my son, let's go up to where the place that God wants me to go, and I'm going to worship God. I'm going to offer a burnt offering to the Lord who blessed me so much. And his son Isaac know that his father going to offer a burnt offering. But he didn't know that. His son don't know. He didn't know that. He himself is the burnt offering. You understand? Because he didn't want his son to cry also. He didn't tell his wife, nor did he tell his son, nor did he tell his servant. He just wanted to do God's will. Okay? And his son said, the fire and wood are here, Isaac said. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself. I want to circle the word. Verse 8 is so important. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. I want to turn back to Hebrew, chapter 11. I want you to write that down. Hebrew, chapter 11. Verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a burnt offering, as a sacrifice. Abraham, who has received the promises, was about to sacrifice his son, his one and only son. Abraham has received the promises, not singular, it's plural. Abraham has already received so much blessing, and he is about to sacrifice his son. I want you to write that down. Abraham meant what he said. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. Abraham lost the hope of getting his own son already. And yet, he received a rich blessing. At the age of 99 years old, and God appeared to him, next year, you will have a son. And Abraham know that this son Isaac, he received it from God. You know what? He received his son at the age of 100 years old. He received the promise at the age of 99. In Genesis chapter 21, he got his son. And I'm glad that in Genesis chapter 12, he did not get his son yet. If he get his son at the age of 75, I don't think he will offer to God. He say, wow, my wife is young and I'm young. It's by my own strength I get a son. He's not the Lord for wife. But he know Isaac is what the Lord provides. He gave it to me. I give what he gave it back to me. I gave back to him what he gave it to me.
So he said, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. The matter was settled. And Abraham told his son, and his son believed in it. Verse 9. When they reached the place God has told him about, that Mount Moriah, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Now his son knows he's about to be sacrificed. Did his son reject the idea of being offered as a burnt offering? No. His son is an obedient son. Isaac symbolized Jesus Christ. When Isaac, in verse 6, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, same as God the Father allowed his son to carry the cross, to carry the tree, to be crucified on Mount Zion. In the same way, Isaac allowed his father to lay him on the altar, on top of the wood. Verse 10. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know. I want you to circle the word, I know. This I is not the Lord. This I is the angel of the Lord. I want you to write that down right beside I, and then circle the word. Now I know. Now the angel of the Lord know. So verse 12, I link it together with verse 11, the angel of the Lord. I want you to go back to 1 Corinthians. I think Abraham must have read this passage. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says things like this. Chapter 4, verse 9. For it seems to me that God has put us apostle on display at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. We, the apostle, we have been made a spectacle to the whole universe. We have been made a spectacle to angels as well as to men. God allowed the whole world, including the angels, allow all the creation to see how obedient Abraham and his son Isaac are. And indeed, they are very obedient to the Lord. Even the angels see that. So that's why the angel cry out from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied, don't lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear the Lord. Circle the word fear. Genesis chapter 22, verse 12. Fear. You write that down. Genesis 22, 12. Fear the Lord. What does it mean by fear the Lord? Fear the Lord means serve God or worship God. Fear the God. Fear the Lord means obey the Lord. I want to circle this word. Fear. You write down, serve or worship. And then you write down, obey. Where did this come from? It comes from Deuteronomy. Moses is the one, he is the author of the Genesis. In other words, Moses knows that Abraham feared the Lord. That's why in Deuteronomy, chapter 10, verse 12 to 13, together with verse 20,
He found out what does the Lord ask of you? The Lord asks you to fear Him. To fear Him means to walk in all His way. To walk in all His way means to obey God. And then to love Him. And then to serve the Lord. In other words, you say to fear the Lord. To fear the Lord means to obey Him and to serve Him. To serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul. Go to verse 20. Fear the Lord your God and serve Him. Don't tell me you fear God if you don't serve God. Don't tell me you fear God if you don't obey God. You do not serve Him, you do not obey Him, that means you do not fear Him. Fear Him is the one who gets rich blessing. Anyone who fear God will receive rich blessing. Anyone who love God, same thing. Fear God and love God mean the same thing. Love God, you will serve God. According to Deuteronomy chapter 10, 12 to 13. You love God, you serve God, you worship God, and then you obey God. This is what the Lord asked of us. We all have to do that. Go back. Genesis chapter 22. Verse 12. Now I know that you fear God. Now the angel of the Lord know that Abraham fear God. Because you have not withheld from me your son. Your only son. Did Abraham offer everything to God? I think so. If God asked Abraham to offer his wealth, he will do it without hesitation. Because wealth is not the most important thing in his own life. His son is the most important thing in his own life. So God always asks you the best. You give the best to the Lord. And prove that you fear the Lord. Because He asks you for that. What's the most important thing in our life? Brother and sister, I want you to write that in here. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Your body. Your body is more than anything else. If you lost your life, you gain the whole world, you are still a loser. Your body is the most important thing. That's why Paul say that, in view of God's mercy, offer your body as a living sacrifice. For this is a reasonable act of worship. It's a spiritual act of worship. It's holy, it's pleasing to God. When you do that, then you know God's will. And God wants you to do that because He wants to bless you. Bless you even more. Okay? Now go back. Genesis chapter 22. Verse 13. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horn. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed the ram as a burnt offering instead of his son. Because the order has been set. The wood are there. He get fire in his hand and he get knife there too. Everything is ready to go to offer sacrifice. But the Lord do not want him to offer his own son. The Lord let him see a ram. And he took the ram and offered as a burnt offering. I want you to write that down. Right beside verse 13, Abraham sacrificed the ram as a burnt offering. This ram is exactly what Abraham said in verse 8. God Himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering itself. Did God provide? First of all, he didn't see the ram. All he sees is his son, Isaac. Am I right? But he knows that this son, Isaac, is not by his own strength he gets the son. He's past the age already. Even his wife, his wife's period stopped already. No more opportunity to give him birth. He knows that it's the Lord provide. The Lord provide him. So he give it back to God. I want to see how you're going to bless me. And indeed, the moment when you offer that, the Lord say, you don't need to offer. You see the ram? Take it and offer that instead of yourself. You know what? What have I learned? If Abraham did not obey God, he won't see at that place the Lord will provide the ram. When you obey God, you know more God will. I want you to write down Psalm chapter 25. Take a look at what the Bible says. It's written by King David. Psalm 25. Talk about to fear the Lord. Verse 12. Who then is the man that fear the Lord? Abraham. Abraham is the man that who fear the Lord. Isaac is the man that who fear the Lord. Jacob is the man that who fear the Lord. The Lord will instruct Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the way chosen for him. When you fear the Lord, verse 13, you will spend your day in prosperity, and your descendant will inherit the land. Not only you get the blessing, your children get the blessing after you. Verse 14. The Lord confides in those who fear him. He makes his covenant known to them. The more you obey God, the more the Lord reveals his covenant to you. Do you know why? God wants Abraham to offer his son in the region of Moriah. And later on, 3 days later, he knows exactly where where the Lord wants him to offer his son as a burnt offering. And that very place is the same place King Solomon to build the temple of the Lord. And then 900 years later, it's the same place Jesus Christ offered himself to die on the cross as a sin offering. You don't go to any other place. You go to the place that God wants. Because in that place, the Lord will provide a ram over there. That ram is our Lord Jesus Christ. The more you obey God, the more God going to give you hidden manna. People don't understand the scripture, you understand. God give you spirit of revelation, God give you spirit of wisdom, and understand the will of the Lord. That's exactly what Paul said. Turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. When Abraham offered himself as a living sacrifice, you know what? When Jacob realized, when his son tell him that your son, your beloved son Joseph, is passed away already, swallowed up by the animal, by the wild beast, and he cried because Jacob realized that his son Joseph is just like his own body. He lost his son. He lost everything. Brother and sister, Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brother, in view of God's mercy, to offer your own body as a living sacrifice. Live for Jesus. Live for God. It is holy. It is pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is your reasonable act of service. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Do not follow the world. Live for yourself. Enjoy your own life. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Just obeying him. When you obey him, just like Abraham, Abraham will be able to realize, to test and approve what God's will is. He realized God's will is good, God's will is pleasing, God's will is perfect. It's perfect.
by obeying God, he not only lost losing his own son, he gained his son back. And he understand one more thing. The Lord will provide at that place. You don't go to any other place. You listen to God carefully. What did he want you to do? You just do it exactly. Then you know God's will. And your blessing will be abundant. Verse 14. So Abraham called that place Mount Moriah. Called that place the Lord will provide. You obey God. You listen to him. He asks you to do something. You lost something. You realize you not only you don't lose something, you keep on getting the blessing. From one blessing after another. Okay? From the fullness of his grace, we have received one blessing after another. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. That's exactly what he said in verse 8. God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. We have to have this kind of faith in order to get a rich blessing. Faith is not by sight. Faith is sure what you hope for. Certain what you're going to get. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Take a look at the definition of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1. Now faith is being sure of what you hope for. He knows that if I go to the place to offer my son, the Lord will provide. If you realize you offer this and then you lost it, you will never offer anything to God. You have to have that kind of faith. Faith is certain of what you do not see. At that time, he did not see the ram. At that time, he did not see any lamb. But he knows the Lord will provide the lamb of the Lord for burnt offering. He knows that. You know, when my daughter Joy in New York, I love grapes, you know. I don't know how many pounds, I buy 5 pounds probably. 10 pounds probably. And Joy loves grapes too. Everything I love, she loves, you know. And she reached out her tiny hand, I give her 5 grapes on the left hand, 5 grapes on the right hand. And then say, thank you, Daddy. And she just about to go back to her own room. At that time, I got 3-bedroom apartment in New York. And, I said, Joy, hold on a second. I gave you 10. You know, the grape in New York is super size. Huge. I said, give me 2 bags. He squeezed the grape. He gave me that. I said, don't drip any grape juice in the carpet, you know. I have to steam clean that, you know. He said, you don't want to give me what I have given you? You go to your room and enjoy and you finish it? Yeah, no more. Daddy has a lot of money. I'm going to buy 100 pounds of grape and I'm going to eat it myself in front of you. He said, Daddy, Jesus said, love one another. I say, yeah, that's right, you love another, but you don't give me back that I gave it to you. How can I love you? Proverbs say, love the Lord and the Lord will love you. They say, Daddy, take it. Brother and sister, do you know what? I test her to see whether I have given her something and I want back. Only 20% back. She tried to break, squeeze the juice out of her. She didn't want it. But she realized I have a lot more blessing. Okay. Brother and sister, remember one thing. Whatever you gave, and God give you more. More than you ask for. That's the kind of faith. Faith is sure of what you do not see now. But you will see later. You know what the Bible says in verse 14? Take a look. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day, even to this day, it is said, on the mountain of the Lord, at the place that God wants you to go, it will be provided. Until now, this Bible verse is still valid. the Lord always provides more than what you ask for. But He's going to test you first. Why He tests you? Take away all the dross. How come the dross? When the silver take away all the dross, how come the silver material that's good for the silversmith? And the silversmith can use it to make a ring, to make an adornment, and all kind of jewelry. In the same way, when take all the garbage off the life of Abraham, in Genesis chapter 17, the Lord said to him, be blameless in my sight. Be blameless in my sight means whatever I tell you, you do it. You do it, then I give you more blessing. You pass the test. God tests you, but Satan tempted you. God tests you to get you, so as to make sure that you get more blessing. But Satan tempts you, make sure that you go to hell. Does it make sense? Now take a look. After he offered the sacrifice of the ram, verse 15, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declared the Lord. Who swear? Who swear by his name is the Lord swear. And that because you have done this, you have not withheld your son, your only son. That's everything to you. Because you did it, I will surely bless you and make your descendant as numerous as the star in the sky. I want you to circle the word only son, one son. You lost one son by obeying me. You gain numerous son. Numerous. So numerous that you cannot even count. Brother and sister, that is faith. That's why Abraham is the father of all nations. You follow his footsteps. You lost a little bit. You gain even more. You know what? If Abraham did not obey God, we don't have Genesis chapter 22, then nobody going to offer his son. That's why later on, in 1 Samuel, Hannah obeyed God. What did he learn? He learned from Abraham. Hannah offered his son, Samuel. Brothers and sisters, when we follow the very footsteps of our forefather Abraham, we will indeed be truly blessed by the Lord. And the Lord said, the Lord not only provide, the Lord said, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the star in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will reign throughout the whole world. Your descendant will take possession of the city of the enemy. That means they will reign throughout the whole world. Later on, we realize that. Right beside verse 17, turn to Psalm 45. Psalm 45 is the descendant of Jesus Christ. 45:16, your son will take the place of your father. You will make them princes throughout the land. They will reign with Jesus Christ for 1,000 years on earth for the millennium kingdom. And then they will reign with Jesus Christ forever and ever in the new heaven and new earth. That's why you willing to sacrifice your one and only son? Then all your sons will become king. Verse 18. And through your offspring, that is Jesus Christ, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Because you have obeyed me. I want you to circle the word obey. I want you to go back to circle the word worship. Verse 5. We will worship and then we will come back. right beside worship, verse 5, you write down obey, 18. Right beside 18, obey, you write down worship. The word worship, you write down share. And then you write down fear God and love God. Brother and sister, God tests you. He's going to test you to see whether you serve Him, to see whether you obey Him. You pass the test, you get nothing but the blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we know You are a great God. You have done great things, things that we have never seen before. Lord, when we lose something for You, You promise us in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12, any sinner turn back to You. At first, they don't do Your command, they don't obey You. Later on, when they suffer, they turn around and obey You. You promise us in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 12, You give him a double portion. Whereas in Matthew, chapter 19, verse 28 to 29, any righteous servant of You obey You and lost something for Your sake, for Your kingdom's sake, You give him 100-fold. But whereas in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham lost his beloved son, he get numerous sons, more than what he asked for. On top of that, all the sons that who has faith in You can reign with Jesus. Not only for 1,000 years in millennium kingdom, and they will reign with You in the new heaven and new earth forever and ever. Truly, truly, You bless us more than what we ask for. And on top of that, You're going to combine with Abraham, let him know one of his sons will be called Son of David, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And through the Messiah Jesus, all nations who have faith in Jesus will be truly blessed. Lord, if Abraham did not obey You, we won't see this precious truth, that precious promises, until this day, at the place that You assign us to go. And You will provide more than what we ask for. Our Heavenly Father, we give You thanks. Forgive us the good news, the precious word, and help us to have the very faith that You have given to Abraham. And give us the same faith so that we follow his very footstep. His son Isaac obey You, You bless him. And later on, his descendant Jesus Christ obey You, to carry his own cross, and die on mankind for our sins, so that we be truly blessed. And help us to follow the very footsteps of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we be truly blessed by You. And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.